Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio. It's KCNR 1460 at 7:06 in the morning. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming out on KCNR1460.com. And we have friends back on the East Coast that have been listening to us, enjoying the good weather as they get stuck with no water in Boston. Boston. Hey, if you want to send a letter or an email to Linda, you go, Linda, KCNR1460.com. You know, of the thousands of people that help put this show on, we have one that we usually introduce. But, you know, he's a kind of standing in for the thousands that are here to help. Bad Bob.
And good morning.
Hey, you want some of the stuff I'm drinking, Bad Bob?
Last time I got an offer like that, I ended up enlisting in the Navy.
Well, we're not going to talk about that. Hey, but speaking of enlisting into the family, here she is.
Okay.
Linda.
Good morning. 48 degrees out right now. Our forecast looks like a high of 71 today. If you're currently just tuning in, good morning, 7:06 in the morning. First of all, let's start the day with a mindful prayer for those people in Nashville, Tennessee. I will say that I lived in Nashville, Tennessee for Carl's doing all kinds of jumping jacks over here on the left-hand side.
Doing a Marcel Marceau imitation.
No, only thing I wanted was a pen. How hard is it when you make these little pen motions with your handwriting?
But there's
Bob
five
looks
right
at me,
in front of you
Bob
right
looks
there.
At me and hands me a bag. What is that?
Anyway, no, so a mindful prayer to those in Nashville, Tennessee. I lived in Nashville for 5 years, and we have a family in Memphis, and it's just a horrific, you know, flood, the Cumberland flooding, and I just can't even believe it, you know, what they're going to be finding, and hopefully some of the, you know, you think about the valuable pieces of music and memorabilia through the years and the Grand Ole Opry. I'm hoping that it's not something that cannot be restored, and we are just very mindful of also the families of lost loved ones. It's a horrific time. We have many things going on in our world. Of course, we're going to be bringing in some local politics this morning. We're talking about a lot of things. I also want to remind you, while we're on that subject, thinking about being mindful in your family. You know, Sunday is Mother's Day. There's a couple things we want to remind you of. You know, we have some favorite places. We love to go to Country Kitchen. They have a brand new remodeling job. We were there yesterday. It's spectacular what they've done. They're 17 years they've been in business, and they've remodeled the entire restaurant. So go take your mom or your loved one and your loved one. There's not or. Mom and your loved ones there. It's a great family restaurant with home cooking. And if you feel like being adventurous, head out to Ensalmo's. They are booked up until 3 o'clock reservations. However, you've got Saturday.
That was a couple of days ago,
yeah.
So you might want to check because, you know, it's a big weekend up there.
Now, Country Kitchen, you don't need reservations. First come, first serve. And so, you know, when you're thinking about what can we do over the weekend where we can treat mom, those are two of the places that we recommend.
Well, yeah, you need to go to Country Kitchen. It's been here 17 years. Charlie and Lynn Moss, you know, have a great place there. Go down there, and, you know, we really enjoy having our breakfast mm-hmm. there, and, you know, they have great lunches, everything, homemade soups. So, great remodeling job. Go down and check it out. Go down and say hello. Hey, you know, a lot else has happened here. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk about the budget cuts and the fights at City Hall, the unions, the firefighters and the police have gone into combat with the city council and the city managers. We'll talk about that when we come back. We're going to talk about the continuing saga of the oil leaking, you know, either 200,000 gallons a day or less, and they're finally getting a bubble, I guess you call it a bubble top, to put over that may stop two-thirds of it. The oil has not hit Florida yet, but now Florida is being hit with thousands of cancellations to hotels and things down there because they're afraid there's going to be oil in the beaches. So they're looking at another 72 hours, you know, so they can do something before it gets to the Florida beaches, another disaster out there. Of course, it continues. the fallout from the Arizonans passing a law to protect themselves, and you see these people that are marching and saying things, you know, that are just so just wrong about the law. And then, of course, we have the Times Square bomber finding out that not only had he been in Pakistan for 6 months getting trained, that the watch list, he wasn't being watched very good, and the no-fly list doesn't exactly work like that. Carlin and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. Yeah, hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Hey, our phone lines here are 605-4567.
Currently 714 in the morning. If you're just tuning in, it's 48 degrees. The weather today, a high of 71, brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Got a shout out all the way to Nova Scotia, where we have two listeners. You know who you are, that are listening on their iPhone as they travel along the and around the East Coast. Got pictures, fabulous pictures of Niagara Falls. And
hey, the weather's good back here, at least for the next few days. I hope you are having a great trip. Nova Scotia, never been there.
They're actually an hour ahead of New York.
In time.
Yeah. So that means 4 hours ahead of us. Wow. Well, you guys, we miss you in Redding. It's very windy. Very windy here this morning, and allergies are flaring, but on a beautiful note that, you know, you're going to come back to some beautiful color, and, well, but I'm sure you guys are all dying to know what happened in City Hall last night.
Well, you know, it looks like, you know, they had some things, it was kind of run through, but the zoning rules, it looks like they're going to allow commercial uses in public places such as schools, hospitals, and parks, including the Turtle Bay Exploration Park. That means that the hotel is going to go up there, or at least has permission to. A Denham Chrysler is going to be able to expand their dealership on North Market Street. You know, that's good. You know, they're growing their business during this time of people getting hammered in the car industry, and Denham is hanging in there, local business hanging in there, and they're pushing out. Of course, they're going to put two measures on the November ballot, curtailing employee retirement benefits. This is one of the big things we're going to talk about. One measure would require employees to pay a portion of their pensions, and the other would eliminate city contributions to retiree health insurance. It passed 3-2. The yes, of course, were Jones, MacArthur, and Bassetti. No, Dickerson and Stegall. But from what I understand, that is not a binding thing. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. It just is just an initiative that says, yes, we agree with this, to give one side or the other a little more power. And then, of course, the budget cuts. They're going to cut $2.3 million in cuts from the general fund. And it's they're going to ask voters, and as I said before, to curtail employee retirement benefits. This is a tough one. I mean, you've got the city workers now are in the middle of I'm not going to say death struggle because it's not a death struggle, but it's a huge fight. They have been talking about this, negotiating about this for, gosh, what, a couple years? And, you know, one side will give some, the other side will give some, but then it's broken down completely. It's going to be interesting here over the next few months, because I tell you what, I've got a feeling that all the stops are going to be pulled on this one. Like I said, Patrick Jones, Missy MacArthur, and Rick Bassetti voted for the ballot measures and the budget cuts after unions declined to pay a portion of their pensions for at least 2 years as a concession. Right, let's go to the phones. Bob, you're on line one on KCNR.
Good morning, Carl and Linda.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning. I'd like to know when the politicians are going to do something about their retirement.
Oh, that would be great, except, you know, as the city council, though, I think they make a total of, like, $600 a month. I don't think you're talking about them.
No, I mean, the state and the federal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the thing about it is, as we have said before on the show and as others have said, is that people used to take jobs at the city, state, feds, you know, at lower pay because they would have it would be more of an assured retirement plan, but you wouldn't make the money that you did on the outside. But through the last decade or so, the amount of pay that people are making while working for the government has reached the and has equaled in many cases, if not exceeded, the private sector. And now not only are they making as much money as the private sector on a weekly paycheck or a biweekly paycheck, they've got much better pension benefits.
Oh, yeah. I don't recall hearing the politicians taking a pay cut either, or doing cutting back on their benefits, such as a free car and gas and everything.
Per diem, things like that. You know, the thing is that, you know, when people go to run for office, and, you know, I believe is that when we first started this, that, you know, people were going to run for office or be in office, not because you especially wanted to, but because you wanted to do something for the country. You'd be there for a short period of time. You'd take off from your bed. You'd go back home then. Well, now we have, of course, politicians that's their job. That's what their job is, either at a, you know, even at the city level, the county level, and then now, you know, state, it's what they do. They run for office. They're in office. And they have, and they receive very good benefits.
Very good.
But, you know.
One more comment about this administration. I mean, I can't believe this, how much they lie with a straight face every time.
Oh, what about this time?
Well, let's start with the oil spill.
Oh, this administration. Okay, I wasn't sure which administration, because you're going to have to be a lot more specific. When you say administration and lying, I just kind of like, oh, that opens up a lot of, you know, a lot of areas. Okay, what about the oil spill?
Well, they say they were on top of it from day one.
Ha-ha.
They didn't start for, 7-8 days later.
Let me ask a question, Bob, and for our listeners here. If George Bush had not made it down to Louisiana until the 10th day, if the military had not been involved by the 3rd day in this, what do you think the New York Times would have been saying? Or
front page news, that's true.
You know, the fact is, that's okay. You know, we didn't know. We just believed the oil company. You know, it's, you know, this was a major disaster. Of course, right in the middle of this, of course, too, you know, toward the end of it, the security system for our country breaks down again, and we have somebody drive a SUV in the middle of Times Square, parks it in front of a mouse's tail, which guarantees there's probably going to be kids there at the theater, lights it off and leaves, and then on his he takes a cab to the airport, electronically via his phone, buys a one-way ticket to Pakistan and pays cash. Now, somebody tell me that this isn't something. Shouldn't a flag go off someplace?
Yeah, and they have no credit to the person that saw the smoke. They all patted each other on the back, saying what a great job they did. And the guy almost took off.
Yeah, you know, the thing is they're saying, well, maybe we should change our no-fly procedure, since this guy was on the new no-fly rule. Anyway, hey, Bob, we got to run and take a break here. Thanks for your phone call.
You're welcome. See you later.
You bet. You know, this is just ridiculous. I mean, it's like, here we got Janet Neapolitano as the head of Homeland Security. This is the woman in Arizona who couldn't even keep her borders safe, and now she's controlling every border in the United States. Show me where she has, you know, where she has even proven that she can take care of one border, much less the borders of our country. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Good morning, Reading! 49 degrees here. It is 7:25 in the morning, and I love it. Let's play a little bit of that banjo. Bob, that's right, because we got the Reading Rodeo folks on. We've got... Well, we got a slew of people that just came into the lobby, and we're just like, woohoo! Look at the wind blew in. We're bringing it on as we go here. And by the way, you're listening to Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR 1460. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be high today of, let's just see what that forecast is.
71 degrees is not going to be as hot as it was.
Yeah.
Going to be a beautiful day, except a little breezy.
That's right. So what are you doing, Carl?
Well, it's 49 degrees right now.
That's right.
We're going to have some of the Reading Rodeo people are coming in now, and then they're going to be, we're going to have...
The young gentleman who's going to be our guest, Josh.
Josh is going to be here, so he sees what's going on in the rodeo.
And then a beautiful woman walked in with the most beautiful necklace that looks like actually handmade beautiful necklace. And we're going to be talking to her in a second.
The going back to our last section here on the local, when we're talking about the cuts in the budget, it's both sides are going to have both sides are going to have to come together at some point. The in the meeting last night, the council, when they started to make the cuts, did not finish, did not say where all the money's coming from. Because, you know what, my friends, this is going to even be more money that's going to have to be cut. We don't look at the end of the cuts. We have to start making them. Now, how do you do it? The police and the fire are saying, hey, look, we did not take pay raises for years, so we wouldn't have to pay that. We look at this as our part of paying into CalPERS. And you've got the, as Reading Police Lieutenant Scott Mayberry said, he said his organization voted to give up 4% pay raise and apply it to members' health insurance costs, saving the city some $500,000 each year for 2 years. He's saying there's the way to save the money. They said they've offered other concessions that it would save four officers. We're going to try and have, in the coming days, have the police on here and the police association to talk on their side. And, of course, we'll always have the city council members so they can talk about why we need these. The employee share of the CalPERS for police and firefighters is like 9% of the base salary, and the employee share for other workers is 7%. The city's paid that since 1980s. And when negotiators offered the benefit in place of pay raises, that's what the union officials are saying, is that they said members are now unwilling to give up that benefit since they paid for it in foregone salary. One of the officers is losing his job, made a point of saying that he's, the city is going to spend $3 million on a bridge to Stillwater Business Park. Well, you're not the only one that's probably questioning that one. And devote $750,000 on a tourism marketing campaign. That's the equivalent, as the man said, to letting your house go into foreclosure so you can remodel. Kind of a cute thing. But the bottom line is that this is just the latest in a series that have taken over $16 million. That's right, $16 million from the general fund since 2007. The city's tax dollars, the city general fund's largest revenue source, has shrunk from $23.1 million to $16.8 million this year. Now, as you know, we had the assessor on yesterday, Leslie Morgan, for Shasta County, and it's not getting any better. The home prices are not going up. The reassessments of the homes means there's less money coming in. There's less businesses here, even though, as you know, some businesses are starting to expand. We're trying to get more businesses in. It's difficult to do that in this time in the state of California. I mean, you've really got to want to start a business here, and you've got to be able to put up with the definition of fees and fines and how much it costs you. Anyway, it's a big thing for our city, and you're going to see a lot more here, a lot more on the show here about that here in the upcoming weeks. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Join us after the news. Yeah, thanks, Dennis. This is Carl on the Bot on KCNR 1460. Okay, now go stand over there to our
finished. Yeah, bro.
Yeah, we're kind of crowded in here.
Woo, I'll tell you, this live radio for you.
Okay.
We like the drop-ins. We love to come on down.
7:34. What's the weather going to be?
Well, currently it's 49 degrees. It's going to be high today of 71 and sunny. A little breezy out right now. I don't know about you, but we're thankful. You know what? We're so thankful to be here in Reading and loving this whole North State weather, because we could be in Iceland, we could be in Tennessee, we could be in places that have had complete
summer.
Tragedy. We just have a studio full of people and more to come, and this is what we love about live radio. We have an entrepreneurial spirit, actually two, but we're going to start off with a beautiful woman who we were telling you about by the name of Courtney McIlvain. Good morning, Courtney.
Good morning, and thank you for that compliment. So early in the morning.
Well, you're fresh and ready to go. Obviously, you were saying that you at one time were what this spot is about, really, is about young entrepreneurs who are living in Reading. And we did a whole series at one time of people who were here for a whole week, and we're going to continue on because we think it's fascinating and wonderful. As we have chosen Reading to be our home, we love for the young entrepreneurial spirits to come on and say, you've chosen Reading to really put forth your energy to stay here, create a business. And at one time, Courtney, well, first of all, why don't you just tell us a little bit about who you are and your history?
Yeah, I have been teaching fitness classes for about 15 years now. And after college, I thought I was going to be a school teacher. And I ran off to China and taught academics and had a great time. And that was my path. And then lo and behold, I came home a week before September 11th and joined the military, and was in the military for a couple of years as a Korean linguist, and met my husband there, who was an Arabic linguist. And when I left the military, I had the opportunity to open up my own business and be self-employed, and what a better time to do that than when you have been institutionalized for a while. So I did that for 5 years or so, and then here and in San Antonio. And recently, in the last year, I had the opportunity to join forces with my dad at Stiefel Nicholas. And it's a brokerage firm on East Street. And we're working together and father-daughter team helping people with their investments and financial planning.
What a fascinating history. I lived in Hong Kong for 2 years.
Oh, we could have lunch and talk. We have many Asian favorite things, I'm sure. Yeah.
We must do that. But the thing is that to choose China... What made you choose? Let's go back a little bit, because I think that's fascinating when one leaves America or the comfort of Northern California. Mm-hmm. You grew up here.
I did.
And so then you go to China.
Yes.
And what made you choose to go to the Far East?
Well, and what's funny is I was in Macau, so that's about 45 minutes by boat from Hong Kong.
Right.
So we were very, very near one another, both self-administered regions in China.
Portuguese colony.
Exactly. It was wonderful. Many European pieces of architecture and so forth. But after college, you know, you're young, in your early 20s, and I was also with the church, and there was an opportunity to do some mission work over there teaching English, and so I went for it.
And so you then learned, you said Korean linguist.
Right.
Okay, so where did you learn Korean?
There is the Defense Language Institute in Monterey, California. It's a joint service base, so Marines, Air Force, Navy, Army, we're all there bundled up, learning languages. You're there for about a year and a half, depending on your language, shorter or longer. And that's it. And they spit you out into your next training. And
I went through Monterey for 1 month. The Marine Corps sent me there
really?
For a month of immersion into Italian.
Italian. How romantic.
And then they sent me to Italy, where I spent all my time in Bosnia.
Oh, my.
So, you know, and so I could say things like, where am I?
Yeah.
Which I still can't say.
Yeah. So when you served, which branch of the military were you in?
I was Army.
Okay.
Thank
you for your service.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm a firm believer in most people, like in Korea, everybody has to do, well, the males have to do 2 years of service. And I wish we had something like that here. It just builds a sense of nationalism and
we agree.
State pride in folks.
I think
absolutely,
should.
We're in agreement.
I think there has to be a public service. If it's not, or national service, if it's not in the service, which is fine, you know, the military,
right.
It should be in something. And if you don't want to do that, well, fine, you can still live here. We can take your taxes. We'll take your money. But you can't do some things like vote. You don't want to put something back in the country. Now, radical. No, it's like this. You know, the country, you know, we're here, you know, we're part of this country. We have people that serve in the armed forces, put their lives in danger so they can become a citizen of the United States. And we have other people here that feel like they owe no allegiance to this country. And I abhor that.
Well, so then you came back after serving and speaking languages and being in far, far away places from Reading. And came back and with teaching fitness.
Yes, and my husband is from Nebraska, and even he saw the gem that Reading is. And it's funny because once you move away, I was away for 10 years, you're able to see all the wonderful things that Reading has that you take for granted when you're raised here. And you know, you go to Alaska or here and there, and you see, I love those snow-capped mountains, or I love that this area has that. And then you realize, wow, one day the light bulb turns on. Reading has all those things. And the fact that Reading's gotten more progressive, I think, is really aiding in a lot of younger folks moving back here, because there's just I'm sure you guys have seen it with your radio show and the guests that come. There's just a sweeping movement of many younger folk coming back, making it their home.
Exactly. So do you head up the 2030 Club's new young professional?
I am a life member. I was instrumental in starting it here because when we moved back, we were hanging out with my parents, who are super cool, them and their friends. However, awesome. We were looking for other younger folks, so we decided to get the paperwork together and get the club chartered, which we did in November of 2006. And since then, the club, it's made a name for itself here in Reading, and people are definitely making their stake here, which is exciting. And there is another young professionals club called Catalyst that has a totally different mission. Instead of it being kids, it's focusing on promoting and bringing cultural events to Reading. So there's all that stuff going on.
All right, we're going to have to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to ask you about your next step into Reading and what you're doing now with your entrepreneurial spirit. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, clearly News Talk Radio.
A mother...
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, it's Carl and Linda Bott. Yeah, 605-4567. Turn it down, I'm starting to float away.
I don't know, it looks like you're taking off the slope or something, like you're you know, getting off the lift.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I've gotten off the lift. All parts of me have gotten off the lift except one ski. So I'm hanging upside down 30 feet in the air.
Are you one ski off?
No, I'm just...
I'm not sure. Currently 50 degrees.
Yeah, I'm one clown shy of a circus here. But not by much.
Currently 50 degrees, going to be high today of 71. If you're just tuning in at 744, and our guest today
is Courtney McIlvain, who works for Stiefel Nicholas. She and her husband, both entrepreneurs in this town, started the 2030 Club for new young professionals. We won't talk about that. But also in the studio, Joshua Ricketts. Is that correct there, Joshua?
Yeah.
See, Joshua is here for a nefarious purpose, and he's here to see what's going on in the radio station. How old are you, Joshua?
I'm 14 years old.
Joshua's 6'1". 6'1 or 6'2"?
6'2".
6'2", weighs like, what, 210?
Yeah.
In the football coaches, where he's going to start as a freshman next year, where is?
Central Valley High School.
Central Valley High School have been, you know, they come over and make sure he's okay every day. And, you know, they bring him vegetables and extra weights that he pushes around. We've got a reason that Joshua's here. We're going to talk to him a little bit later. But let's go on back to Courtney. You know, Courtney, you obviously are, you know, in touch with everything that's going here in Reading. What do you see? What do you see? Where do you see the future is? Get that look off your face.
Such a loaded question.
Yeah, it is.
Such a loaded question. Where do I see Reading? Well, it is, as far as the young people go, I see lots of innovations happening here. I mean, the businesses that people are bringing are just, I mean, wonderful. It's pretty overwhelming. I think we still are going to draw a lot of retirees. So we're having this nice cross section of generations. We have lots of baby boomers. I mean, we've seen all the nice retirement homes building up in the area. And I think, despite what we read in, you know, Reading.com or in the newspaper every day, there are fabulous things going on, and as negative as some of those issues can be, I think people have a lot of hope for the area, with the housing especially. I think people have a lot of hope with the economy in general. So I think it's all in all a great thing.
I think it is, too, and I tell you what, your exuberance is just contagious in here. You know, Bob's dancing around the room, and if you've ever seen Bad Bob dance, that's a scary thing.
Okay. So we are, our guest today is Courtney McIlvain, and so you grew up here, you left, you traveled the world, and you've come back. And how long have you been back in Reading now?
We came back in 06, so it's going to be 5 years.
Now, yep. how do people get a hold of you for this club?
For the club?
Yeah.
The Active 2030 Club, you can go to the website. I'm not the president right now. I was in 06.
Right.
Jim
uh-huh.
Reed is the president right now.
Okay.
And there is a website, Active, or actually, you can email Active2030@Reading@Yahoo.com. That's what it is. Active2030Reading@Yahoo.com.
Okay.
How long has it been since I've done this?
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of us running around. Talk to anybody that you work with. There's 40 people in the club, so it's word has spread.
Great.
To go from a fitness, teaching fitness, and then to go from, well, that's 5, 6, 7, 8. We all know that there's in routines.
Right.
But to go from teaching people fitness into teaching people finance,
mm-hmm.
and caring for them financially,
mm-hmm.
what kind of leap was that for you?
Yeah, it was a huge one as far as the knowledge that I had to gain. Huge. Just the financial world can be quite overwhelming. And what I've seen is a lot of correlations. And specifically, fitness, let's talk yoga. And when you take a yoga-esque approach to say, like, your portfolio or your investments, it really brings a peace of mind that beats nothing else. And it's the only way to look at things. Things go up and down. The Dow goes up and down every day. Look what's happened yesterday and today. Look what's happening in Greece, Spain, Portugal. So with that, there can be so much fear just running rampant. And the point is you can't be drawn into those emotions, and you can't let them run high and make decisions based on those high emotions. You have to just know exactly what your goals are and what your plan is personally, and then trust that the person you're working with is going to set you on the right path to get where you need to be. So a lot of the correlations I see are just bringing that sort of Zen approach. I mean, even in yoga, when you do a balance pose, you're standing on one leg. If you take your focus away from that one point, you're going to topple over. Same thing when you look at your portfolio.
Well, what would you say to those people who are watching the news and seeing that the horrible riots in Greece, people dying on the streets, absolute mayhem.
Yeah.
It is affecting European economy. People are in fear that it's going to trickle down into the United States. They're seeing it in some of their investments. What would you give somebody hope regarding that?
Yeah, I would say that there's always been reasons to not invest. Always been reasons to be fearful. I mean, when you look at, say, you know, same things that are happening now were happening in the 80s. Look at 82, unemployment was at 10.8%. If you look at, you know, the savings and loan crisis, the bank failures, the auto industry has taken a dive before. So, you know, these things, yes, this was unprecedented. However, there's always been reasons to worry. And guess what? America may not be the end-all, be-all superpower of all time in the next decade. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. But we're still in there. And if you make the decisions that are right for you at this point, then there, you can have peace about that.
That's great.
Hey, let's go to the phones. Hey, Jay, you're on line one.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're good. How are you, Jay?
I got a question. I've been in this area since I was three. What do you think about the possibility of having jobs that pay well? You know, when the mills were in, these jobs paid well. Now most of those jobs have disappeared. I mean, do you think that there's any economy that could spring up around here that would take the place of all those good paying jobs?
Specifically, the good-paying jobs you're talking about, JR, which I missed what you said.
There used to be a lot of jobs around here that were well-paying jobs, and now they've disappeared as the businesses have disappeared. Do you see that coming back?
For example, the mills.
Yeah, the mills and things.
Oh, the mill. Okay, I missed that. Yeah, of course. I mean, I'd say the number one thing that is sort of the thorn in our side at this point is, you know, construction and any sort of profit pool coming from there. So that's the people who are doing the roofing and the doors and you name it. So I do see that coming back. I can't say that it's going to be coming back in the next 6 months or a year. I mean, it's looking more like it's going to take a little bit more time to recover. But those are very well-paying jobs, and that in this particular economy, our local economy, is really a nice foundation. And what we have noticed is, I mean, there's so many small businesses coming, and it is location and how people are supporting it is it's going to be huge. I mean, just look at what we're doing with the promenade right now and say, for example, Gorilla Bites. Nice, healthy eating. It's organic. It's fabulous. What's going to drive people to get down into that area where there's a college and social service buildings and that kind of thing? It's kind of a hodgepodge of things. So it's going to be us needing to take the effort to put, you know, park our cars, get on our feet, and walk our tails down there.
Shop local, stay local, make
hey,
our economy
gotta,
thrive.
We've got to take
that's
a break, and we're going to say
goodbye for the call.
Goodbye to Courtney here.
Thank you.
Courtney.
And Courtney
McIlvain.
And let me look at this again. Stiefel Nicholas. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. And we do have a website.
Okay, let's hear it.
Great. It's Stiefel Nicholas. We're located in downtown on East Street. And it's www.redding-stiefel.com. It's STIFEL.com.
Great.
Super. And Courtney being on today is part of our Young Entrepreneur. Let me say that again.
Young Entrepreneurs of Reading.
There you go. Thanks for
thank
Carl.
You
that's
so
why
much.
We
Thanks
come
so
together.
Much. I appreciate it.
That's okay. We're going to take a quick break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. You know what? When we say we have a full show, we just don't fool around here. In the studio now, in this spacious place here, as we've stacked people up, is Miss Reading Rodeo of 2010, Julie Hemingway. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're fine. And she's joined by Lee Ellison, who's the secretary of Reading Rodeo. Say hello there,
Good
Lee.
Good morning, everybody.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, you know what? We're going to have you back on next week because, you know, Reading Rodeo, we support that. We love the Reading Rodeo.
Love it.
So how do you, you know, I mean, what are the things you have to do to become Miss Reading Rodeo?
Well, being Miss Reading Rodeo, there's a series of things that you have to do, including public speaking, which is a huge source for Miss Reading Rodeo, as you can see. We also do a pattern on your horse, and they judge you on your ability to ride and how well you work with your horse, as well as personal interviews of rodeo knowledge and our world events and Reading events as well.
Okay, now, do you participate in rodeo?
I do.
Okay, now, what do you do?
Well, I started when I was little. I did Gymkhana and a little bit of barrel racing, and then I got into showing my paint horse in Western Pleasure. But being rodeo king was one of my strong passions in life, and I knew I wanted to be Miss Reading Rodeo at the age of 3.
Wow. And where are you from now?
I'm from Reading.
Okay. And how can I ask, you know, your background, you know, what schools you went to?
Of course. I attended Junction School, and then I went on to Foothill, and I graduated from Foothill, and I am now attending Shasta College. This is my last year there. I'm going to be graduating with my associates, and then I plan on going to Sacramento to go to cosmetology school, and then the following fall, I'm going to Sacramento State to get my bachelor's degree in communications.
All fabulous. Right. Well, we definitely want to have you come on. Now, how long do you hold the title? I mean, when did it start and when does it end?
It starts August. It starts in August. They do the competition in August, and then you hold the title for 1 year.
That's great. What's your favorite event?
Barrel racing and bull riding, of course.
Oh, bull riding. You know, everybody loves bull. Everybody loves the bull riders. Yeah.
So, but how many appearances are you scheduled for in the next 2 weeks?
Oh, so many. Probably, if I had to guess, probably about 10 to 15.
All right, so a typical day for you would be?
Today I have 2 interviews with you guys and another radio station, of course. Tomorrow I have another radio station appearance. Friday I have to get ready for the parade in Cottonwood at the Cottonwood Rodeo. I have a dinner that night for the Asphalt Cowboys, the Top Hand Dinner.
That's on the 7th, right? That's this Friday.
Yes, this Friday.
We'll be attending.
We'll see you there.
Great.
And then Saturday, we have our steak feed dinner, too, that we'd like to invite everybody to for the kickoff.
All right.
You know, we've got like a minute left here.
Such a beautiful young lady.
Yeah, you are. And, we're so happy that you're on here and, for bringing her by, because we're going to see you next week also.
Okay. I would like to invite everybody to the rodeo next week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I hope to see everyone there.
Oh, yeah.
There.
Well, you know, it's going to be a big – we're going to be there on Saturday night for sure. And we're going to be there announcing on the parade. We can't wait. And,
oh, good. I'm
and
excited.
It's really been great meeting you.
Oh, it was nice meeting you guys.
Yeah. We'll see you again. And have a great weekend and keep up the great work. You are a beautiful young woman.
And congratulations on your title.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Carl and Abad here on KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio.
This is KCNR Shasta Reading.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. I can't help but laugh. I listen to the news. You know, some guy assaulting pigs, and in a bar. I'm not even going to go there.
That is so disgusting.
First of all, what are the pigs doing in a bar anyway?
I don't even go there. And by the way, Bob Alonji is our conductor this morning.
That's right. He's trying to conduct this as we have people roll through here. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. It is a great tobacco emporium, great place to get your coffee at Espresso Joe's. Joe and Shelley, outstanding American.
Currently 50 degrees. The time is 8:05. Now, we're going to start off this 8 o'clock hour. We have been talking about young entrepreneurial spirit here in town, the 2030 Club. We had Miss Reading Rodeo on, who is somebody who grew up here and doing great things.
Julie Hemingway.
And our next guest
for the
is the youngest of the youngest person that we've ever interviewed on the air.
Joshua Ricketts. Joshua, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Joshua is how old are you, Joshua?
I'm 14 years old.
And you go to school where?
I go to Castle Rock. It's up by Castle Craigs in Castella.
Okay. And now, you know, when I mentioned earlier that he's not your typical 14-year-old, first of all, as Miss Ready Rodeo says, he doesn't look like he's 14. And you're 6'2", 210. He is not somebody you would say is a couch potato.
No, I play football. In fact, we just won state championship.
Yay! Congratulations!
There you go. Very great.
Thank you. I'm going to be playing for Central Valley High School this upcoming season for the freshman team.
All right. Now, you're probably saying out there, why a 14-year-old on the radio station? Because, you know, right after this, you know, we're going to have him on for a few minutes. And then, of course, you know, Connie is coming on to be talking.
Connie Regnall.
Connie Regnall coming in to talk about the auditor for the rest of the hour. But Joshua approached us with an idea.
His mother is Stacy Luann.
That's right. He and his mother came and approached us with an idea about Joshua having a radio show for teens. Tell us about it.
Well, essentially what I would do is get on and talk about what other teens want to talk about. I would take calls and discuss whatever they want to discuss at that time. Of course, I would have a topic of interest of the day. So if they have any to...
So and you're looking at the people from that 13 to 16-year range, and not maybe don't have driver's licenses, but, you know, things to do around this town and just to talk with each other.
Yeah, basically.
Do you think that you would have a positive influence, and one? And two is, why do you want to do this?
Why do I want to do this? Well, first of all, I think it would be a very fun thing to do, and... why do I think I'd have a positive influence?
Do you think you would have a positive influence?
On certain people.
Okay. So in other words, would you be doing teen talk? I guess what I'm trying to get to is, let's say, for instance, we tune in, we're flipping around the channels, and all of a sudden there's this kid that's talking about, like, let's say what would be your first, if you were going to do this, what would be your first thing you talk about?
Things at school, would it be like school, like at school topics? I know that you're not into gaming,
no.
Because that you're into sports like that. But, you know, when we talked about this, you discussed how just, you know, talking among your friends about things that are going on in the teen community. You know, what's there to do for young men and women that are 14 and 15, don't have a driver's license, you know, those kind of things.
Oh, my gosh, there's so many things you can do.
Like what?
There's skateboarding, of course, there's football, there's sports for school, or for your city, if your school doesn't offer it. You can do paintball, whatever you can do with your friends, go hang out and walk around for a while. It's better than sitting on a couch playing games all day.
You feel safe walking around town?
Of course, yeah.
Well, I mean, you're a big guy, but, I mean, does your friends feel safe when you're walking around? And, like, you don't think that, I mean, there's not a lot of street crime in Redding, is there?
Not in Redding, but in Central Valley, but not too much.
Okay. You know, Joshua, you know, like I said, we're having Joshua on today. Let him see what it feels like, and he'll probably be on again. But if you decide you want to do this, you know, we're going to support this in the sense that we think it's important that our young people have a voice also. It's not just for adults, that, you know, because there's a lot of, you know, you're the future. You know?
And the grandparents and parents could possibly tune in and maybe get a kind of a keen eye on what's going on with their kids and an insight, rather than having your kids feel like, I don't know, they're under the spotlight. They will speak more openly, and you can get a little insight for the parents to be educated as well.
And that's the big thing.
How many times do you text a day?
At least 300.
Yeah, you know, that's something else, too, is texting 300 times. That's you know, but you are not unusual. From what I understand, there's many of your friends, your contemporaries. Obviously, if you're texting, they're texting back.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Hey, our guest has been Joshua Ricketts. Yeah. And Josh, you got anything else you want to say right before we close here?
Well, the topic of interest, my first one will probably be bullying, even though it doesn't interest me as much, but it definitely will interest other kids.
Oh, wow. That's a very topical.
That's good.
Subject that's huge right now, and we're all paying attention to that across the United States.
That's right. Hey, Joshua, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Hey, we're streaming at KCNR1460.com. Send Linda an email at Linda@KCNR1460.com.
Especially if you have any questions for our next guest, our current auditor controller, Connie Ragnell. Good morning, Connie.
Good morning.
And thank you for being here. We know that you flew in at midnight from a baby shower.
A baby shower in Mississippi. My daughter
goodness.
That's in the Air Force. Yes, I flew back for a long weekend just so I could attend her baby shower on Monday afternoon. It was so much fun.
Oh, I bet.
And then I got to go to the doctor's appointment for the ultrasound, too.
How was that?
Oh, that is so awesome.
Fantastic.
Well, then you know it's a girl or a boy.
It's a girl.
Okay. Well, you know.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. You know, I was just thinking is that we had Courtney McElvain on, mm-hmm. and who is one of our young entrepreneurs. What a bright young lady she is. Also had been in the Army.
Oh, really?
And, you know, I just applaud the fact that our young people want to serve in the armed forces. I mean, it's not... Nobody joined after 2001 that didn't know what was going to be happening.
Well, my daughter's in her 13th year, so she's done her service and wants to make it a career, so
fabulous. Good honor.
Yes.
Okay, so what's happening? Let's talk about where you are right now in the campaign and just tell us about what's happening. What's going on?
Well, I'm known as the calendar right now because I'll tell you there's 33 days until election. I have been doing the countdown, but I just want to get back and do my job. And it's very difficult to do a campaign and still do my 50 to 60 hours a week. So I'm anxious to have it taken care of. We're starting very actively now in our candidates forum. So not this week, but next week we have them almost every night. And it's just trying to get the word out there to people to let them know what I have done and what the office has done and what a great staff I have, and, you know, try to put some of those misstatements to rest so that we can let people know that we are doing a great job and the accomplishments we've made. And, you know, I couldn't be prouder of my staff, and they're probably taking a lot of abuse right now, and that's just not fair to them. So I'm very happy to say I've got 14 out of 19 that have formally endorsed me because they want people to know that the morale is high. And that they're very competent, they're well-trained, they understand what's expected of them, they know they're supposed to be accountable, and they're held accountable because taxpayers are paying their salaries, so they should be accountable. And they're working very, very hard to make sure that the job is functioning and the office is functioning well.
Do you find that during campaign time, is it exhilarating or is it draining?
Yes.
Both. Okay. Well, I think
absolutely.
Highs and lows.
It does. When you get home after one of the candidates' nights, it's finally getting a few bites to eat, and then you just can't sleep. I'm never in bed before midnight, and I'm usually one that I like to try. I'm in the office before 7 o'clock every morning, and so by the time 9:30 rolls around, I'm ready to start winding down, and I'm usually just getting home at that time now, so not getting a lot of sleep. So it gets you very motivated when you're doing it, but...
Yeah, we kind of know how that's like.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Early
you know,
morning.
Well, you know, the thing about any time you run for office, and I am all for, and I don't, you know, Teddy Roosevelt, probably one of my favorite presidents. But, I felt like somebody should challenge Teddy when he's running, you know, if it's time. Because I believe that brings out the best in a person that wants to be an elected official. Because, you know, you've got to suck it up. You're tired. You are going to be asked questions. You've got to think on your feet. And it makes the candidate identify where they're at. It lets us know what they think. And that's why I just love the idea of elections and, you know, and people having to stand up and say what they believe.
And I agree with you, Carl. I believe that the election is very valuable. And people talk about this particular office as auditor. Should it be elected or should it be appointed? Because, you know, why should the auditor be? Well, there's government code that says that there must be because of independence issues that I must be able to tell the Board of Supervisors or the County Administrative Officer, no, you can't necessarily make that kind of an expenditure or you can't transfer your funds in that manner. And you couldn't really tell that to your boss on easily, you know, that, no, you can't do what you want to do. But running a campaign, I would really like to be able to run a campaign where people want to just talk about what they can do, what they have done, and be able to get involved in it that way instead of trying to bring other things necessarily into the race. But let people know, you know, I've got the experience. I've got over 19 years experience in auditor controller's offices between two counties. I know the job. I've done it from the ground up. I've been an assistant of two different counties for over 14 years, and I've been the elected auditor since January of 07. I have done every job within that office. I know it. I can do it. I continue to take education and training for it, and I stay actively involved in the community and at the state level, too, to make sure that Shasta County is being represented.
Well, you know, we're going to take a quick break here, and we come back on it. You know, for the people that may not know it, though, there may be some people that don't know exactly what the auditor does. So when we come back, I would like you to talk about that. This is Carl and Linda Bott right here on Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. Join us after these messages. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. You know, it's Carl and Linda Bott, and it's a great day. Thanks a lot for listening to us today. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by the Cypress Square Barbershop on Athens. D.C., Tim, and the Mysterious Haircutter. They're not hairstylists. They are just really good barbers. Great price. Give you a great haircut. And let me tell you something. You're not going to see Oprah on the TV. There's animal heads hanging on the wall. Okay, we're not talking Al-Qaeda. We're talking deer and all these other things, so don't get too excited. Man's last stronghold. What? Connie Regnell and Linda are over here getting ready to fall off their chairs because this is a place to get your hair cut, my friends. I get my hair cut there. Rich Bay gets his hair cut there. Well,
it's the ones
that are left.
If you poke your head in the door, just expect to have this wall of testosterone.
Let me tell you what.
Man,
you know what?
You just want to turn around and leave.
You know what? You want a haircut? This is where to go. Cypress Square Barbershop.
It is. For men only.
It is. They don't cut.
It's a boys' club.
It's not for men only. Boys get in there and get their hair cut. You know what? This is a great
place.
For
the male species.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Connie.
Yes.
Try to follow that one. You know, that just started out as a 10-second mention. You know, I just get carried away.
Okay, Connie. Okay, this is something that I just thought of while we were at break. And if you're just tuning in, our guest this morning is Auditor and Controller Connie Regnell, and she is running, and it's for her re-election, and we are having everybody on that's going to be running. We've got how many, 30 days, 33 days left until you get to the ballot box. Okay, let's say somebody's just driving up the 5 corridor, and they not really paid very much attention to politics, but they know that they're going to vote this year. Why should someone vote for you?
Because I am the most experienced person for the job. I have the knowledge base. I have the experience necessary to do it. And I have been doing the job. And my staff and myself, we've been doing the job exceptionally well. So when you're driving down that freeway and you see my purple and white signs, the first word you see on it is integrity, because that's what I am. I believe that we have to hold integrity at the highest level. And especially when I'm taking care of the county's dollars, I'm responsible for every money, every dollar that comes in or goes out of that treasury to make sure that it's accounted for appropriately.
And that very well said. What would you say during your time in office would have been, let's say, two of your top accomplishments that you're most proud of?
The one I'm most proud of, I believe, is that we have implemented a new financial management system throughout the county. When I took office, we had a centralized computer system, which meant the departments had to give everything to us on paper. We had to audit it and do the data entry and then process the checks. And it was very timely. And we were then having to run all the reports for all the departments. They didn't have a lot of access. Now we have more than 600 users on the system. They have 24/7 access to their data and the reporting process. They do the input of their own documents. They transfer the information electronically. We sign off on it electronically. We audit it through the system. We can process the checks, and they're in and out on a much more timely basis. And we've put 1,900 employees on time card online, so they're all doing their time online now, too. So nobody's having to do hand paper time cards.
And so your office and you implemented that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
When people say, and we've got 4 minutes left here for this segment, and we've got, of course, the rest of the hour, the auditor's office, what duties fall under the auditor's office?
Well, the auditor is the elected component of the auditor controller. But also, once the Board of Supervisors adopts a resolution that says that they're going to put a controller position with that auditor, then you now fall under another set of government code regulations. So I have to comply with all county state law. But I'm responsible for in maintaining the $396 million budget is spent appropriately and in compliance with all laws and regulations. We also have to audit all the financial transactions for approximately more than 100 departmental budget units and 60 independent districts and 90 dependent districts and 350 school budgets. We also process a biweekly payroll for over 1,900 employees. I'm responsible for the property tax administration. I do the internal audits and financial reporting and pay all the bills and make sure all the accounting is done appropriately throughout the county.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, we are taking emails. If you can't get to the phones, of course, we are streaming on KCNR 1460. Email me, Linda, at KCNR 1460, and we're going to be bringing Connie back for the last half hour. We're going to be talking more about the auditor controller and the upcoming election 33 days away. It is currently 52 degrees, and the time is 8:28. We have a few minutes before we take a break.
The one of the things that I've noticed is that when we, when we talk about a formal education, mm-hmm. which is one of the things that's been brought up, and your response to that is?
My response to that is a degree or a certification will usually guarantee you the interview, but it doesn't necessarily mean you've got the ability or the experience to do the job. Bill Gates didn't have a degree, and I can tell you that he and I both have our PhD in results.
Oh, okay. The 33 days left, what do you see in the next 33 days? Lots and lots of town hall meetings.
I have a very busy schedule, yes. Well, next week we all have a very busy schedule. We have several candidates forums. I believe there are four out of the 5 days next week. And they actually start trying to double up on one night, and so people have to start rearranging. But I also have many of my community events that I do. I continue to do those, and, of course, I continue to represent myself in the community, not only as the auditor controller and running for re-election, but also just for the community involvement that I participate in. And we do have the dog-a-thon this Saturday for Haven Humane, and I do co-chair that, too. So you got to come out to
the
Haven Humane.
The dog-a-thon. And that's going to be a fundraiser, obviously,
yes.
For the
Haven
Humane.
Yes. I'm sure Dr. Ray John was on here a while back.
Ray John's
absolutely.
On a lot. He just
yes.
kind of walks through sometimes and comes in, which is fine. He's another Marine, so we just let, we let him roll in there. The next week, with all the candidate forms and doing your having to do an 8 or 9 hour job day a job and all that, well, we've got like 30 seconds left. We'll come back after the break and we'll talk about that, about new things that you want to see, the problem that you see, or any, well, I shouldn't say problems, but concerns that you have in the future for the auditor's office, changes you'd like to make if you had the ability to do that. If you could just wave your wand and say, I'd like to do this.
All the money, all the people, and make it happen.
Well, what? Another $2.3 million. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio.
Good morning, Redding. Oh, yeah. It is the walk of life right here. Yeah. 605-4567 is our hotline if you would like to call in and engage. It's 834 if you're just tuning in now. Currently 52 degrees, going to be high today of 71. Beautiful sunny day. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Our guest this morning is our current auditor and controller, Connie Regnell, and Bob's taking pictures of her. Let me turn around halfway. Some people don't like to have side pictures taken. I am one. So, yeah, Bob, thank you.
Anyway,
better?
And Connie's running for re-election. Okay, we said we wanted to talk about problems facing the auditor's office. What do you see as a big concern for the upcoming year?
Well, I believe it's the concern that the entire county has. Well, you read the front page of the record search site, the city does.
Another $2.3 million.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, the county has been very conservative. And, yes, we have budgetary issues, and we all had to submit our budgets again with another reduction to them, which we're doing, and I, too, had to make another cut in my budget. But I think the biggest concern is to maintain the accountability within the office that We have tried so hard over the last 3.5 years to rebuild that accountability and the respect that we have. You know, I'm very proud of that ongoing working relationship that I have with the department heads and special districts and the Board of Supervisors. It's very positive, and that's something that, you know, I can be very proud of. But I believe as we move forward, we're going to have to continue to maintain that financial system I was talking about, continue to upgrade that, because that system was able to save county money across the board. I mean, my positions, I was able to reduce my staffing by a couple positions because of it. Other departments are getting more efficiency from it. Efficiency equates to more dollars, too. So we're saving money by being able to be more efficient. Well, we need to continue to update that.
You know, it's a funny thing. The more efficient you get, and then there's less jobs there are, unfortunately. Your opponent has talked on several occasions about the grand jury having findings against your office. Would you like to address that? A negative, I might say, negative findings, not
yes,
positive.
Well, and actually it's published everywhere he's got any publication. He does spell out the fact that there was a grand jury investigation of the county auditor that found lack of qualifications. But again, what he does not say is that was in 2002, 2003, and it really wasn't even about the auditor as far as his job. It was about the performance of the auditor himself. And that's what's taken care of. You know, those were issues prior to me. I took office in 2007. I'm very happy to say that since I've taken office, I've had clean audit reports from the grand jury. And any fiscal or procedural issues that they've had inquiries about have always been clean. And, yes, he even says that I had a finding in 2009. But he's not making complete statements. He's picking words out of a statement. So the actual – can I read what it says?
Absolutely.
Sure. Absolutely.
This is your time.
Okay. The 2009 report says, staffing shortages in the auditor's office have limited the ability to complete internal audits for fiscal year 08-09. However, the auditor hired a certified public accountant to supervise internal audits and also assigned staff to accomplish this function. Well, the words that are being said are just picking a few words there, saying that there was a negative finding, and there was not. We have been doing audits. We have been working with departments. So they're just false statements and misleading statements.
Okay. The part, just the basic part about the you know, the funding is, of course, is a problem, which is going to face all of us for probably the next, you know, I can't just say 6 months. I'm looking out there for a couple years. You know, I can't help but think in the climate that we've got right now, with the home prices, you know, and the will continue to be stagnant or drop, and then the tax will go down. But also trying to start businesses, unless something, you know, is a huge jump start of some kind, I don't see a change in that. And up here in Northern California, and this isn't got anything to do with auditors, but this is just something about you know what I want to hear what you think here on this county is. You know, you love this county just like everybody does, you know, that lives up here and wants to stay there and see this be a success. What would you do to change some things around here, if you could, to make businesses, that make it more of a viable place to start a business?
Well, I believe I'm going to stay with campaign because that's really what I am right now. I believe that my management style really leads to those issues, because I believe that the accountability for employees are critical. I have very high standards and expectations for myself, for my department, and my employees. I hold them to those standards. They accept those standards, and those employees that are with me and are doing such a great job know that they are doing a job, they have the responsibility, and they're going to be held accountable because the taxpayers are what's paying their salaries. And I came from private sector. I also had 18 years of private sector management and accounting experience. And when you're working in the private sector, if you're not doing your job, you're out. You don't have the long, you know, grievance issues and disciplinary issues and the long evaluations. You're not cutting it. This is what you need to do. And if you don't do it, you're out of a job. I believe there should be no difference in the county. And so, yes, I do have a turnover rate when I first took office. Granted, last time I ran, both of us were in the same office, and it was a divided office, and it was a very tough work environment. But those people that are in my office now, as I said earlier, 14 out of those 19 have stepped forward and just formally endorsed me for this position because they know what we are accomplishing, and they want to continue that. I believe that's part of that financial or the fiscal accountability that we can be responsible for. I also think it's important that our Board of Supervisors understands that they have to step forward and make those tough decisions. And that's something that they have done, which is why I believe Shasta County is in better shape than a lot of the counties across the state and, of course, some of the cities. So I believe that they're doing what they need to be doing. They're getting the information they need to make the right decisions, and they're making those tough calls.
Now's your time to call 605-4567. If you have questions for Connie Regnell, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back right after these messages. You're listening to KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Well, good morning, Reading. Again, 605-4567. We're taking your calls this morning. Here for Connie Regnell, who is running for a re-election, the county auditor
controller.
And we did have an email that came in. I just want to let you know that if you were having trouble listening on the internet, it is streaming.
And it's streaming well.
It's streaming well. Unfortunately, what happens sometimes in firewalls or in buildings, I don't know what that.
It's. From looking at your address there, that there's probably a firewall on your account because from your IT people, so you can't listen to this. The fact that you can just shows the strength
of
Free Fire Radio.
Well, we do have an email that has come in from a listener this morning that I'd like to get to. Connie, the question is Shasta County in better financial shape than the city of Reading?
I'm going to play the political side here now and say that I can tell you that Shasta County is continuing to function very well. Yes, we've had our budget cuts, and we have had to make those constraints and such. But, again, in my office, when I started in that office in 1996, there were 28 allocated positions to the auditor controller's office at that time. I currently, when I took office, there were 24 allocated positions. I now have 22. So there are being cuts across, but thankfully they have not been filled positions at the time when we're having to do that. As far as whether or not we're in a better financial situation from the county and the cities, I believe that's a question you're going to have to put between the city manager and the county administrative officer.
Okay. Well,
is that backpedaling?
I don't know. I you know, maybe this listener who's emailing me will come up with another question, and we'll see what they have to say. We also are taking your call, 605-4567.
You know, this one I said, you know, before that if you could do something, yes, you know, to change things. And and again, if there's something you could do to change the way we do business in Shasta County, as far as the, you know, the departments and everything, I know that you've gone to the efficiency route on the IT route. Is the rest of the Shasta County departments, are they doing the same thing?
Oh, I believe so. We have actually, with this financial system, we're doing a lot of interfacing with some of the departments that have have subsystems that they have to use for their particular accounting business or business that they do, such as, an example, our Public Works, our Roads Department. They have to work through a system that does cost accounting in order to spread all of their costs through their projects, make sure they're controlling their costs and their budgets appropriately. They're having their employees have to key all of their time specifically into these particular jobs that they do. In the past, they would key all that information into their system and then have to, again, have us key it into ours. We've created an interface. Again, technology is a blessing, to where we were able to work with their software provider and our software people in our IT department and make an interface that will download that information directly from their system. We made them put all the securities and controls in place that we required for our audit purposes, and now we can get that information so everybody keys it in one time. We have several of our departments that we're interfacing with our HHSA, our Health and Human Services Agency, their social services departments. They have all of these payments that they have to make for their clients on a monthly basis. We're doing interfaces with them too, so that we're eliminating that redundant entry.
Again, we have 33 days till election, and so if you get
not,
active,
not that anybody's counting here.
No, yeah. I mean, get active. If you'd like to get a hold of Connie, and how does somebody do they interact with you through your website?
Yes, I have a website that is reelect. It's a hyphenated reelect. ConnieRegnell.com. And it's out there, it's up, and you can go out and you can check not only what I'm about, what I have done, also go out and check my endorsements. You know, I've got a, I've got a, I'm very fortunate to have the endorsements that I have, not only through my state association, my employees in the department, many of the county officials, and also past and present, and many of the special districts, their managers have endorsed me also. And I also have then, you know, department heads. You know, the sheriff endorses me. We work very, very closely. I know that was a topic of an issue as far as one of the reports of issues that they had there. We've worked very closely to clean up those issues. We've put internal controls. We reinforced their internal controls, and they now are compliant with all recommendations that we found in that audit.
You know, you're in a community when, and this is unfortunate, but when somebody is caught doing something wrong, and in this case, an embezzlement we're talking about in the sheriff's office, and you know it's a small community when you know who it is, and you've interacted with them, and you like them.
Right.
And so when that happens, it's even worse, I think. Hey, we've got to take a break here. It's Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here, 605-4567. That does have nothing. Well,
8:52 in the morning.
What, I'm dancing around
you
here,
do. You, it's cute. You know, until you come in and you're a guest in our station, you won't know what Carl does when the music comes in, the bump music.
Anyway, Connie.
Yes, sir.
Rignell is our guest today. She's running for re-election as the county auditor controller. Throw the incumbents out. We're hearing this. This is a movement running through the country. What, you know, the impact, if any.
Well, first of all, I certainly hope that doesn't happen. But I believe that people, I'm one that really likes change. You can tell from what I've done in the last 3.5 years. I'm not afraid of change. However, it has to be an informed and knowledgeable change. To just replace the incumbents just because they're incumbents, you've got to be careful what you're going to get, because we've all seen things in the past as far as everyone wants to vote for a change and you may get it. In this particular case, if you don't have the experience and the knowledge that goes along with the job, I know you had Leslie Morgan on here the other day, and she and I both are in very technical positions, and I'm not saying one thing or the other for her candidacy because we're both running, but it is very true that for a technical position, you must have some experience, and you can't do your job, anybody. I mean, would you want to go out and hire an electrician for your house that just walked in out of school and turn him over and let him wire your home? It takes time to learn that job. And so to just throw out the incumbents, you're going to have to be careful what you'll get.
Well, we're having Leslie, no, I'm sorry, not Leslie's, her opponent was on yesterday, Ron
Yes,
Large.
Ron Large. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking
was
of Kathy Garland. Her opponent is, which is another technical position, I think, is Kathy Garland. Her opponent is Russell Hunt. He will be on next week, and he'll be able to, tell our listeners why he should be elected. And why he should be able to take Kathy Darling.
Everyone
place.
Gets a fair shake here.
We want to have everybody on that's of course is running for election. Running for re-election.
We have technical positions. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You go ahead, Ron. Connie.
Ron. Connie. Technical positions really require a knowledge base, and you have to know what you're doing in order to do it, and you have to have the staff there that can back you with it, and it does take the experience. So just throwing out the incumbents, and I know that's out there, and I know that's a possibility, but I hope that our the voters within Shasta County really evaluate what they're asking for.
Well, I know that we only have a few minutes left and we have emails coming in. Transparency is a huge word that is so apparent with what's going on with our political climate right now. And an email that just came in, comes from a listener that says, how much money does it cost to run a re-election campaign for a position such as yours, and who are your financial supporters?
Wow. Well, in the process, of course, when you start your campaign and you put together your budget, you really have to evaluate that and you make those hard choices, too, as far as what you're going to be doing. I will anticipate that my campaign is going to cost me between $20,000 and $25,000. And I, of course, hope that you can always get it in for less than that. And then, of course, you put in a lot of your own financial support to it. But I have been very fortunate that I do have some supporters. I was able to get the operating engineers, local union number 3, so they have been able to support me a little bit. Plus, I've had some key supporters within the community that have stepped forward with dollars. But mine have mostly been, other than that one, have been mainly from those people in the community that I have worked closely with and those that I really cherish their respect because they know I can do the job.
So in other words, fundraising.
Fundraising.
Okay.
And a lot of that is just asking, and that's so difficult to do.
It is tough. You know, and going back, and again, this is, and we like to say this at one point during every show, is that we don't endorse anybody as, even though we are asked to by a lot of people, we don't endorse anybody because we believe in our community. We believe the people running for office in our community, our neighbors, they all have...
A fair shake.
That everybody comes in here that we treat just as equal as we possibly can. But also is that we also believe there's no nefarious purposes for people that you know, for running, except because they believe they can do the best job. And there's enough people throwing nasty words and writing horrible things about people that are running that it's, first of all, I find that disgraceful when they sink to that level, especially at our local elections. Hey, people, these are our neighbors. Anyway, but we say that during every time so that we can, you know, everybody understands that that's where we're coming from. That, you know, if we've invited somebody on so they can say where they've been. Connie, before we leave, we've just got a couple minutes. Tell us, just leave us some thoughts here.
Some thoughts. Well, I will, what I will do is when I am reelected, I will definitely continue to run the office independently, and it must maintain independence. And I'll also make sure that all monies are spent appropriately and in compliance with all laws and regulations, and so that all money going in and out of the Treasury are accounted for appropriately. And that is a heavy responsibility of my job. You have a question.
And finally, on a positive note, Connie, there was a wonderful email that just came in. And, of course, we read the emails that come in because it's important to just go from our listeners to what they're thinking to you.
It says, I keep hearing that someone with a degree is more qualified to hold a position than someone who does not hold a degree. Education is defined as the knowledge of skill obtained or developed by a learning process. Educate is defined as to train someone or to improve someone's awareness. It does not say that learning or education process can only take place in a classroom. And this lady says, I really appreciate your statement that you received your PhD in results. And I'm sure that there are many other professionals out there in our community that can appreciate the statement as well. P.S., I do have a degree, but I don't feel that automatically makes me more qualified than anyone else.
Wow, thank you.
I mean, I don't know who wrote that. You know, it could be.
And
know.
To say that differently, yeah. Finally, there her word is, to say that differently would be arrogant.
So.
As for the people, by the people, voice for the people.
That's right.
Here
on
KCNR.
And again, it's... all people that run get a shot here.
And I thank you for having me on again.
Well, you know, one of the things we wanted to do is with 33 days left is I know you're just, you know, you and everybody else is just chocked next week. We'll try and publicize where you all are at in the evening so that people can go out and listen, of course. Because it's so important for people to be able to ask you all the right questions. You know, hey, tomorrow we've got another big day coming in. Your opponent, Randall Faulkner, is coming in. And on Friday, Doug LaMalfa, we're having any number of things happening this week, as we could tell by today. Next week's a big week, too. We're having a couple of guests that ought to rise everybody's bloodstream just a little bit. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.